Folks, for those of you who have who need packages, we have more packages in the back. Does anybody need a 12-step package? It looks like something. It looks like this. Does everybody have one of these? Everybody have one of these? We have more in the back. Yep. Got many more. Many more. So people are going to be walking around with 12-step packages, okay? All right. Now, we have three big books floating around here. We have the little blue book, of which does not equal to the page numbers I'm reading. So Pele over here will help you with that. We have the big blue and yellow book, which is the fourth edition, which I promise you I'm going to re-outline my big book, because this is actually falling apart, as you can see. It's all falling apart. And then I will tell you the difference in the page numbers from the big one that you have there. Okay? Now, what I would like everybody to do is I'd like everybody to turn to the doctor's opinion. The doctor's opinion, which is on page XXV in the fourth edition big book. Okay? Are you ready for this? At the top of that page, does everybody know who Dr. Silkworth is? His name was Dr. Silkworth. Okay? He's one of the biggest contributing medical people to our Alcoholics Anonymous. Dr. Silkworth was considered an absolute freak in the United States because he was the only doctor that did not believe that alcoholics were weak. He believed that there was a mental gene, there was something wrong with us, that when we started drinking, we act different than anybody else, and it makes it virtually impossible for us to stop. How many of you out there, and you don't have to raise your hand, thought you were weak? I was like, oh my God. I could accomplish all this in my life, and I accomplished a lot at a young age. How come I can't quit this drinking? And let me tell you now, the only reason I even tried to quit drinking was because alcohol testing came in the airline industry in the United States. That got me upset. I was mad. So 1995, alcohol testing came in, and I thought to myself, in January, I was supposed to fly January 4th, and on January 3rd, I said, you know, I'm shaking a little too much. I'll just have one drink. And what happened? I set that cycle in motion, didn't I? And you know when I woke up? February 1st. I woke up February 1st, 3:25 in the afternoon, almost dead. My family had been gone. My wife had took the kids. They've been gone for 3 days. I knew it was a little quiet. I didn't know why it was quiet. And I knew I was hungry because no one was cooking for me. It was a bad scene, okay? So that's my sobriety date, February 1st, 1995. Dr. Silkworth had 20 years experience with alcoholics. Do you know what his sobriety rate was? 2%. It's recorded. 2%. A bunch of drunks come in and they sober up 75%. And he was like, what is going on over here? What is happening? And then we asked him to write us a letter for the big book. And guess what he said? No. You're way too new. No way am I going to do this. And he waited for us to have some years, and then he wrote the letter to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? That letter is huge. I want you to go down to the the fourth paragraph on page XXV for the people in the big book. The fourth paragraph, it starts off, highlight this. In the course of his third treatment, Bill Wilson did not get this the first time. Bill Wilson got this the third time. There's actually some arguments above historians. They think it took him four times to get sober. Okay? Four treatments. But it says here, in the course of his third treatment, Bill Wilson, he acquired certain ideas, Those ideas were the steps that came from the Oxford group of our time. There were three Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know if you know this. In 1850, they were called the Washingtonians from Washington. There was about 100,000. What happened? Civil War broke out in America. There was the North and the South, and we just split. Do you see what happened? We split because we got into public issues. Then the Oxford group came in about the 20s. The Oxford group, which was a Christian group. Then World War II broke out, and we split again. Okay? We split again because we believed. You know why all these people are getting exterminated? Because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And all this mess was going on. And they just split. Alcoholics Anonymous, have you heard anyone ever argue about your religion, whether you're Buddhist, Catholic, Jewish, right? Muslim? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say. I've never heard an argument on religion in Alcoholics Anonymous in 13 years. Okay? So it says here, as part of his rehabilitation, as part of Bill Wilson's rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conception, meaning the steps, to other alcoholics, impressing upon them, folks, that they must do likewise with others. You must do likewise with others. You must. I thought there were no musts in Alcoholics Anonymous. You want to know how much of a life I don't have? I counted them. There's 82 musts in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're probably thinking, you got to get a life, right? My wife says, you got to get it. I'm sitting here. There's mug 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 82. I was right. I gave up a whole day of my life, but I proved there were musts in this big book. Who else but an alcoholic is going to sit there counting musts? All right. You must do likewise with others. It says, this has become a basis of a rapid growing fellowship, these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. Not recovering. We have recovered. We have recovered. You want to know the difference? Let me tell you the difference. There's the word cure, right? And the big book says, we are not cured. Right? We're not cured. Just add alcohol. What happens? Woo! We're off to the races. Right? Recovered, and then there's cured. Okay? You have the symptoms, and you have the disease. Okay? Let's be a little anal over here. And then we have the symptoms and then the disease. Let's talk about cured. My mother had breast cancer. Okay? She was cured from cancer. That means her symptoms went away and her disease went away. She was cured. Then she got lung cancer. I'm not going to preach about smoking. I'm not one to do that. But then she got lung cancer and she didn't get over that one. God rest her soul. But she was cured, recovered. When you are working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, when you are going to meetings, when you are helping others, your symptoms go away. Folks, I own the largest bar nightclub in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's huge. 40 different types of beers. I don't go in after 10 because I don't like drunks. But I like employing the 82 people that are there and paying them well and giving them medical benefits and stuff. I'm the only one that does that. Okay? I love that part. I'm not afraid of alcohol. I just don't like drunks. Okay? I'm not afraid of walking down the beer aisle, of having dinner. Oh, my God, you all have this bar here that serves this pork. Oh, my. It comes in a bowl with this white sauce. Have you all ever had it? It's potatoes. Getting a little flustered over here. I ate it twice. I've been here 2 days. I had twice. The lady's like, you're back? Okay? Recovered. The symptoms are gone when you work the steps. What happens when you just add alcohol? You're off to the races, aren't you? You're not cured. Okay? We're recovered. I don't struggle with this anymore. And this is the way you will be too. Work the steps. All right. I want everybody to turn to the next page, XXVI in the big book. For Alcoholics Anonymous, he's going to give you the little book. From the top of the paragraph, if you count down three lines, this is a doctor writing a letter saying this. These men will have a remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say. What's a remedy? If you have a remedy for something, what do you have? You have something that is going to fix what you have. You have a remedy for a cold. It's called penicillin. We have a remedy, right? We have a remedy for alcoholism. It's called the 12 steps. What happens if you don't take your 12 steps? You drink and drug. Is that everyone's experience here? I'll tell you what, it was my experience. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was a mess. A mess, a mess, a mess. I had nothing. I couldn't even fly a kite, no matter an airplane. I was a mess. And I just didn't drink, and I just went to meetings, and I sat there saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is terrible, this is terrible. So I picked up this 90-day, we give door prizes for years of sobriety, whatever. So I picked up this 90-day trinket, and I was going right for the door. I was going right for the door. And I was going to go to this 5-point Liquors, okay? Because in 5-point Liquors, you don't have to get out of your car. It's a drive-through thing. We have drive-through liquor stores in America. It's beautiful. Because when you're too drunk to walk, you just drive up. You keep hitting the side of the building. I'll have a gallon of vodka. I was going out, and my sponsor stepped in front of me, and he said, listen. He says, you're acting a little more weird than usual. He says, and if you're about ready to go out, I don't want you to tell people that AA has failed you. You have not worked the program of recovery. And I looked at that little SOB and I said, what? I've been going to 3 meetings a day. You've been dragging my ass to jails and institutions. And he says, no, 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 no. You've been working a fellowship. Heck, you're the mayor. You're the governor of the fellowship. He says, but you have not worked the 12 steps. You have not worked the program. Now, if you want to work the program of recovery, I know you are unemployed. So you have plenty of time. I want you in my house on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I want you to bring this book called The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he brought me just like I'm doing you, page by page by page. And then I got this huge spiritual awakening. But the only reason I went over to his house was to prove him wrong, because I was different. Does anybody else here think they're different? Yeah. Yeah. I see all these heads like this. 200 heads. Yeah. You are not different. You are not that powerful. Trust me on this, okay? I want you on page XVI. XVI is the big book. And then I want you, they're still on the same page. One, two, the second paragraph. Highlight this. The doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. This is the first time he mentions the allergy. What is that allergy? It goes like this. Remember? The alcohol turns into formaldehyde. We cross the line. It turns into codeine, comes back to barley and hops. Barley and hops is just the wheat that we make to ferment alcohol. Best invention in the world. And then it turns into water. Okay? That's the allergy that they're talking about. Once you get this allergy, once you have crossed this line, you're done. You cannot go back. The only way is through total abstinence of alcohol. Okay? Then we teach you the handshake, as we have not taught my wife. I hope no one taught her that. We have a private handshake here at Alcoholics Anonymous. I want you to go to the next page. I mean, the next paragraph. I'm still on page XXVI. The next paragraph. Okay, it's 1, 2, the third paragraph. Highlight this. Though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as an altruistic plane. So we have a solution to this problem, folks. If you have a solution to something, that's a good thing. If you have a problem and you have a solution, what's the solution? Well, it's twofold. We have a solution. Spiritual. Oh, bother. Altruistic. Ready? How do you spell it? Altruistic. All right. Here we go. Altruistic. All right. Something like this. Okay. Spiritual. Spiritual equals 12 steps. If you do not work the 12 steps, you will not receive the solution. Make sense? I'm here to bring good news. I'm here to bring good news for you. You ready? If you're a chronic relapser and you have not worked the steps, you have not failed. How could you fail something you have not tried? I got bad news. If you're a chronic relapser and you have not worked the steps, you're going to continue to be a chronic relapser. That I guarantee. I promise you that. Altruistic equals doing good for others without expecting anything in return. I expect nothing from you all today. Okay? I pray and hope that you will take this message with as much energy as I have, even after 13 years, and to spread this to others, to spread the solution. We have people here. I had the pleasure of talking to a young lady who has 6 weeks of sobriety, and another young man here who has little time. So they're not all messed up yet. So now they're learning the truth in the way, right? I'm so excited when I get a newcomer. I swear to God, if I'm in a meeting and I see someone raise their hand, I'm like, I lock. It's like taking a gun. I mean, I'm just like, hey, how are you? What are you doing for the next 5 hours? Everybody in the meeting is like, oh, there goes Doug. I always promise, come on over to my house. My wife's an Italian. She'll cook us pasta. Oh, bring your big book and a marker and a highlighter and a blah, blah, blah. He comes in. We lock the doors. We close the shades. It's not that bad. We have a solution. It's spiritual, 12 steps, altruistic, doing good for others without expecting anything in return. I expect nothing from you. Although, if you want to take me to that pork place again for dinner, I'm all in. I want you to go to the next page, which is XXVII. XXVII. Okay? I want you to go to the the fifth paragraph. Now, the fifth paragraph, check this out. There are no time frames in Alcoholics Anonymous. That is the biggest misconception you're going to hear. And you're going to be like, now, I'm going to love this. You're going to be sitting in meetings and people are like, yeah, take your time. It says in the big book, work one step a month. And you're going to be like, no, it doesn't. It does not say once a month. Listen to this. Fifth paragraph. You ready? Highlight this. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book, which is Bill Wilson, came under our care in this hospital. And while here, he acquired some ideas. The ideas were working with others and working the steps. Okay? Which he put into practical experience. How fast? 1 month? Wait a year? At once. Now, maybe there might be a language barrier here. How do you say at once in... Wow. With a stamping of the... Nope. He put into experience now. At once. Through the book, you're going to hear that. Now. Immediately. Next. We launched. Then. Never 1 month. 1 day. 1 minute. Okay? All right. So that's where we start off with time frames. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to the next page, which is XXVIII, the first paragraph. XXVIII, the first paragraph. Now, I'm going to want you to do this, put a box around the first paragraph, and highlight it. This is the word powerless. This is what they mean by the word powerless. How many people have heard, in America we do this, it drives me to drink. Well, not really to drink, but you know what I mean. Hi, I'm powerless over people, places, and things. No, the big book does not say you are powerless over people, places, and things. I will dispel that right here, right now, but I want to read this paragraph to you, okay? XXVIII. The first paragraph, we, the alcoholics who wrote this book, and so suggests a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, as I just showed you. It says here that the phenomenon of craving, I want you to circle that and highlight it. The phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average tempered drinker. My wife never thinks, maybe I should have a little milk before I go out to coat my stomach. Hey, I'll have a couple drinks so no one will know how much I drink. Hey, well, maybe I'll go for martinis, the beers. When she found out that I used to think like that, she's like, she thought I was crazy. I already married her before I told her all this stuff, so it was pretty cool. Do you see what I mean? We think like this. They don't. Non-alcoholics do not. And I'm not going to call her normal. I will not call people normal. We're all normal. We have an allergy to alcohol, just like you might have an allergy to peanuts. Ours takes us to death. Eating peanuts could take you to death too, I think, right? All right. The phenomenon of craving limited to this class and never occurs in the average tepid drinker. These allergic types can never drink alcohol safely in any form. That's powerless. We are powerless over what alcohol does to our body. When we drink the alcohol, it's over. It's a done deal. Check this out. People, places, and things. Today, I want you to stop giving up your power. You are a, as we call it, a chip off the old block. Okay? If we are true creators from God, if God created us in his or her image, then, let's check this out, then we're all interior gods, are we not? At least that's what my belief is, and that's what my experience is. So if that is a true statement, then I could create anything I desire. And guess what? 7 years ago, as an airline pilot, I knew I didn't want to do that anymore. Although I was making a lot of money, it had nothing to do with the money. I was on a different plane. Not literally. I was on a different spiritual level, okay? I designed this life, and this life was to be a public speaker in financing and in AA, a public speaker. Where am I now? Who designed this? I did. God? I designed this. You could design it. I'm going to show you how to do that today. So, powerless over people? No. 1996, January 2nd, my sister threw a party in New Jersey, and I flew up, and we used to just murder each other with our words. It was a terrible, terrible, unhealthy relationship. And so she said something to me. Well, guess what? I was falling in love with myself through your help of AA. And when she said something to me, I was like, oh my God, that hurt. And I said, whoa, 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 everybody stop. I pulled my mother in, my sisters, and I said, this will never happen again. If you talk to me like this again, I will be out of your life. And if I've ever talked to you like that, I am so sorry. I love you. I love me. Let's start this new today. My sisters and I adore each other. On my mother's deathbed, she held my sister's hands and she said, I'm so proud of the relationship that you all have fostered. Okay? But I was willing to leave. I do not stay in any relationship. Never. I love myself too much. Places? Leave. Move. You don't like them. Well, what happens if I have family there? What happens if you do? Call them up. We got cell phones nowadays. Whatever. Write them. Go visit. You don't have to live there in that pain. Stop giving this up. Things, I found out what it was. I had a cell phone that was driving me crazy. I got this new high-tech cell phone. I thought I'd do emails. Right? Finally, I took that son of a... And I threw it out the window. And I was like, ah. But I lasted 2 years in the pain, okay? People, places, and things. You are not powerless over that, people. You're powerless over what alcohol does to your body, and that's it. Are we clear? All right. I want you to go down to on page XXVIII, the same page, 1, 2, the third paragraph. If you go down about 6 lines, it starts off with we feel, the first 100 people feel. We feel, after many years of experience, that we have found nothing, nothing, which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement growing up around them. So, if they have found nothing, what helps rehabilitate alcoholics like you and me by helping others, then why aren't we all doing it? I remember when I went to go do my first big book with a sponsee. I called up my sponsor. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm going to kill this guy. And he started laughing. He goes, you are not powerful enough to kill that guy. And I thought to myself, he's right. He says, just read the highlighted areas, tell him your experience, and that's it. And that's what I did. And I watched this guy get a spiritual awakening, and I'm like, oh, it was like a drug. I'm like, holy smokes, I had a little piece of that. It was, oh, folks, if you're not sponsoring people, you are so missing the icing on the cake. And doesn't everybody like icing? I mean, you get the ball, ow. Right? Who likes the cake? It's the icing. All right. I want you to turn to, I want you to go to the bottom of that paragraph, I mean the bottom of that page on XXVIII. It starts off with men and women drink essentially because they like the effects produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it injurious, meaning it hurts them, they cannot after a time differentiate the truth from the false. That was me. To let them, their alcoholic's life seems the only normal one. They are, here we go. How many people have heard this? I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. You're restless, irritable, and discontent until you can sense of ease and comfort, which comes immediately from a few drinks. All right? So you're feeling all upset. You're feeling, you take that drink. I remember I screwed up my schedule a couple times flying. So, like, I couldn't drink for, like, a day and a half. And I'd be like, you know, shaking like this in the flight deck. That's not what you want a pilot to do. So I'm shaking in flight, you know, and I'm flying the last leg of the trip and I'm going home and all I'm thinking about is the Exxon station down the street and I'm grabbing that beer. And I mean, I'm running through the jetway and I'm kicking over passengers. And I'm taking off the hat and the stripes and I get to the gas station and I get the beer and I'm pouring it all. And then I say, I don't have a problem if everyone just leaves me alone. I'm pouring beer over my head in a pilot uniform. I have no problem. Just leave me alone. Get off my back. Right? Woo! Okay. Now, I want you to go to page XXIX. I want you to go to the first paragraph. I want you to box in that paragraph. And right now, we are going to talk about recovered. Recovered. This is the definition of recovered. Are you ready? Definition of recovered. On the other hand, and strangely as it may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change, the psychic change you're talking about is what happens when you do the steps. Once the psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, like me, who had so many problems, like me, he despaired of ever solving them. Has anyone felt like that in these rooms? Yeah. Okay. Suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. The only effort necessary being that he follows a few simple rules. What are those rules? The 12 steps. Follow the 12 steps, you'll be easily able to handle your alcohol, and life will be phenomenal. It won't even be great, it'll be phenomenal, with a PH. Is that the way you spell phenomenal? Yeah, whatever. I'm asking an Italian how to spell phenomenal. Some are sicker than others. Okay. I want you to turn to page XXX. XXX. At the very top of the page, first sentence, it says, these men were not drinking to escape, they were drinking to overcome a craving. Okay? People lose fathers. People lose mothers, children. Okay? We're not drinking to overcome that. Once we start drinking, now we're drinking to overcome the craving. I remember I used to hear, the first drink gets you drunk. I'm like, yo, lightweight, you know? Takes me 18 beers and a fifth of vodka to get me drunk, you loser. I understand what they mean. The first drink sets in that motion that we keep talking about, right? That's what happens. The first drink does get me drunk. Got it? Okay. Now, I want you to go down to the, on the same page, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth paragraph. Okay, here's another definition of powerless. Are you ready? It mentions nothing about people, places, and things. It says, all these and many others have one symptom in common. All of you here who are alcoholics and drug addicts have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. Circle that. Phenomenon of craving defines if you're an alcoholic. Not if you had 4 DWIs, driving while intoxicated. Not if you were in jail 11 times for drunken disorderly. They'd be like, oh, here comes Doug. Hey, You know, I mean, my shoes are dragging. There are two cops are carrying me in. They all thought I was a comedian. I remember the first time they were filling out the forms, right? They're filling out the forms. The cop's filling out the forms. Okay, he's down here. He didn't look up once. What do you do for a living? I'm an airline pilot. No, really, what do you do for a living? I'm an airline pilot. He's like, I bet you he never flew again. All right? It says, this phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. Folks, did you ever think you were a distinct entity? Isn't that great? She doesn't have it. When my mother died, my sisters did not have it. I had it. I was in the middle of wherever, and I just called up a hotline. An alcoholic picked up, and I said, I need a meeting, and I need a meeting now. And he talked me all the way through. Does she have that? Nope, we do. It brings tears to my eyes. Are we blessed? Think about this. I used to say, I'm a blessed alcoholic. I'm like, you're a loser. You know? I understand what he means now. I understand what they say now. I am a blessed alcoholic. This is the coolest little organization I've ever belonged to. Well, actually, it's the only one you let me stay in. Bless you, by the way. All right. Now, we're done with that. Bill's story. Let me tell you about Bill's story. You don't have to turn to it. If I want to hear a story, I'll hear your story. He was a drunk. Okay? He got sober in November of 34. And that's it. So let's continue on from there. We're going to go to page. All right. Now we're back, folks. Now we're back on the regular number pages. Turn to page 17. It's going to be a little different in the Denmark book. Denmark book. You got to get an Italian book, honey. These guys got Denmark everything. Look what I got. Come here. I got you a present. Come here. Got you a present. I got you this for women, and I got you this. It's in Denmark. I can't read it, but it says sober, I think. I think that's great. I really do. You guys, really, you're so organized. This has absolutely been fun. Chapter 2, there is a solution. Oh, really? You would never know it from the people coming in and out of the rooms all the time. Oh, you needed that. No, you did not need that. Okay? There is a solution. Is that the good news? There's a solution. If you want to hide money from an alcoholic, put it in his big book. Here, let me tell you another joke, honey. You ready? Let me tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, my biggest fan. You wonder why I bring her around? Okay. There is a solution. Check this out. First paragraph, third sentence. Imagine if you said this in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, it would blow everybody's mind. It says, nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. Try it. Hi, my name is Doug. I recovered from alcoholism. I have solved my drink problem. Everybody would be like, oh my God, you arrogant son of a... I mean, they'd go on and on, right? No. Just read page 17, first paragraph, third sentence. Right? That's what they believed. They believed when you came in here for good. That was it. That you had solved your drink problem. Is that the biggest taboo word to say? Ooh, he's going back out. Right? He's going to have a drink. That is not true. Okay. I want everybody to go on page 17, the last paragraph. I want you to write in the corner. I want you to box in that paragraph. And write, big book is solution. It tells you in this paragraph, the big book is the solution. So why don't we tell anybody about it? Because it's like the best kept secret in AA.
I don't know. The tremendous fact for every one of us, every one of us. Okay, so let's do this. For every one of them, they all agree. Let's just take this first row. And we'll start off from the right and ask each other, where do you want to go for lunch? And there will be a diff. No one will agree. Every one of them agree on this. It says the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. Is that tremendous? Okay, page 19. Page 19, first paragraph, third sentence. Page 19, first paragraph, third sentence starts off with, we, the first 100, feel that the elimination of drinking is but a beginning. Don't drink, go to meetings. Great. So now you told me one. And they never finish up. Don't drink, go to meetings. All right? Don't drink. Work the steps. Help others. Go to meetings. That's what they should say, but they never do. It says here, we feel that the elimination of drinking is but a beginning, a much more important demonstration of our principles. From this point forward, whenever they would mention the word principles, they're talking about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Lies before us on our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And they don't mean you're having an affair with another man or woman. That's not what they're talking about, okay? We, Valeria and I, have a large company in the States. We have 7,000 employees, which could be a headache at sometimes. But you could always tell how somebody is in AA. Walk into their house. How are their children? How are they treating their wife? Do they love and adore their wife? Okay. How are they at work? Oh, between 9 and 5, I could screw you all over and steal your money, but when I walk into that AA meeting, I'm Mr. AA. I'm the spiritual guru. You see what I mean? It's a bunch of crap. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, whether I'm on stage speaking to 1,000 financial people in the United States or whether I'm here with you, my language just changes a little bit. But these people don't know, these financial people don't know that I'm zinging them with AA. All day, and they pay for this one. See, this is great. We don't pay for this. I make them pay dearly for that. I get up on stage and I say this. Money is the root of all good. And all of them are like, I get a standing ovation. Right? I get the standing ovation. They're thinking of it from the selfish point. I'm thinking of it, and I say, listen to me when I say this. Money is the root of all good. Why? Because I am so blessed that I can give so much away and help thousands of people. Thousands of people. Valeria and I help literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And that's why it's an energy, folks. It's just an energy. It's not a good or a bad. Heck, your money is, wherever it is, it's like beautiful. It's orange and purple and stuff. Ours is very boring, but it's just energy. We're transferring energy. Think about it as such, okay? How many people in AA are just in financial straits because we don't know how to work it? If you work the steps, you will straighten that out too. I will show you that this afternoon. I will show you how to be financially responsible. I'll do that for free. Ask her what I charge people for that. Woo-hoo! Right? That's another part of our group. Doctors, lawyers, we have everybody in here. Everybody. Garbage men, I met a great guy yesterday. Everybody. You know, electricians, plumbers. We all need each other. We all need each other. Okay? And everything we do. Okay. I want you to go on page 19. I want you to go down to the third paragraph. I want you to write, the big book is the program. Okay? Box it in again. The big book is the program. All right? The big book is the program. And here we go. We have concluded to publish an anonymous volume setting forth the problem as we see it. We shall bring to the task of our combined experience and knowledge. This should suggest a useful and circle the word program for anyone concerned with a drinking problem. That is it. We talked about the fellowship was the meetings. We talked about the big book now, which is the program. Now you're learning the program, okay? And you need to go out and tell the world. Take a smoke break. Ciao, ciao.
10 minutes. 10 minutes.